This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Ari Shapiro, and each night we're here to answer your questions.
Hello, this is Logan Chang from San Francisco, California.
This is Kay from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Brianna from Wisconsin.
Are there any plans to bring the most vulnerable students back first, since they are learning the least in distance learning?
What goes into making a vaccine for this type of virus?
Wouldn't an infected person, vaccinated or not, still shed the virus, exposing others?
Does the coronavirus that causes COVID-19 mutate like the flu virus?
How do I measure the rock and the hard place that I'm stuck in here?
Can you please enlighten me. Thank you.
NPR journalists and outside experts are on hand tonight to offer solid facts, tell you what we know, and correct some of the misinformation that's floating around. And when we don't know something, we'll tell you that too. Send us your questions about the pandemic and the way we live now at npr.org/nationalconversation. On Twitter, use the hashtag NPRConversation. Each night we begin by answering the question, what happened today? Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin testified remotely before the Senate Banking Committee. Congress is debating getting more money into the struggling economy, and senators press Mnuchin on why the money Congress has already allocated has not gotten out faster.
We are just starting to get these facilities up and running. We want to have a better idea as to which one of the facilities needs more capital, as well as the potential for adding additional facilities.
Now, as Secretary Mnuchin, Chairman Powell once again suggested Congress needs to do more.
What Congress has done to date has been remarkably timely and forceful. I do think we need to take a step back and ask over time, is it enough?
The House, which is controlled by Democrats, has passed another $3 trillion relief package. In the Senate, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell doesn't seem eager to vote on it. He spoke today after meeting with President Trump at the Capitol.
We need to assess what we've already done, take a look at what worked and what didn't, and we'll discuss the way forward in the next couple of weeks.
Walmart announced it has hired more than 235,000 employees to keep up with demand during this pandemic. It says online sales were up 74% in the first quarter. In the U.S., there have now been 91,000 deaths. Globally, the death toll crossed 321,000 today. Yesterday's news about the encouraging results of a potential vaccine from Moderna sparked excitement around the world. You've sent us a lot of questions about possible vaccines to protect against the coronavirus, and here to help answer those questions is NPR's Joe Palca. Good to have you back, Joe.
Thanks, Ari. How are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. First, just good. Remind people why this early trial showed promise and give us a bit of a timeline for when public health experts think a vaccine might be deployable on a mass scale.
Well, okay, yes. The key word to remember here is early results. This was the first cut on the first round of the first start of testing this virus, 45 patients at three different dose levels. Its main purpose initially is to find if the vaccine is safe, and so far it appears to be safe. The next level is to see if it's provoking the body to making an immune response, which is what vaccines do in order to get the body ready to fight off an infection if it happens to be exposed to, in this case, the virus, the SARS-CoV-2 virus. So this is part one. There's usually three phases of vaccine trials. Phase two is expanding on part one, getting more people in, learning what doses you want to use. And part three is where you actually begin to find out, okay, is this working? Can we give it to enough people to convince ourselves that it's actually preventing people from getting sick? That's
and the timeline
people,
we're looking at for part three is like 6 months, a year and a half. What?
Well, this is the interesting thing. Companies are saying we think we can go a lot faster than we used to. We may be able to start this third phase in a couple of months. That would be really quickly. So how fast? You still have to wait until enough people are exposed. And you compare the people who are vaccinated against people who receive a sham vaccination, and you see if the people who actually got the vaccination get sick less frequently or not at all.
All right, let's take a listener question. This comes from Logan in San Francisco.
What goes into making a vaccine for this type of virus?
So, Joe, you've kind of described how you test a potential vaccine. What goes into actually finding it, making it?
Yeah, it's a really, I mean, from a scientific standpoint, it's a really interesting question. So So what the scientists are trying to do is to find something that looks to the immune system just as if a virus had come into its body and was about to infect it. So mm-hmm. they study the thing on the outside of the virus that the immune system first sees, and they try to replicate that in one way or another. And in the case of the coronavirus, it's a protein on the outside. It looks like, I've been thinking about it, like it's like a clove stuck into a tennis ball. So it's something that exquisitely recognizes this clove and then figures out a way to just take the clove, not the whole virus, but the clove by itself or with a few other things attached, but not the whole virus or not a healthy virus, wow. and put that into a vaccine. And the immune system will say, oh, I think this is an infection, but of course it's not. So it will recognize it. And then the next time, if the real thing comes along, it'll say, oh, I've seen that before, and it'll respond.
That's just incredible. All right, our next listener, Sujal, is also in San Francisco, and he wonders this.
So far, what progress has been made by the scientists to complete a vaccine? And what info do they need to finish it?
Huh. So we know that these trials are underway, but like, what does the finish line look like? At what point can they say, like, okay, we did it?
Well, yeah, there is a, it's actually the proof is in the pudding. I mean, as they say, you're going to have to take all these great ideas. There's more than 100 vaccines under development, and there's maybe 8 or so that are actually in human trials, and there are more to come. But eventually you have to show that it's safe, show that it's provoking an immune response, and then show that it actually prevents people from getting sick.
But, you know, with that many trials, I could also imagine a scenario where they say, okay, we've got a vaccine, it has a 65% effectiveness rate. And then later on they say, oh, wait, but here's a different one that has a 70% effectiveness rate and less side effects. I mean, it seems like it's not just done, you've crossed the finish line, right?
Yeah, I mean, it could be iterative like that. I mean, sometimes, I mean, the first one might be a home run. I mean, they use it and bang, nobody gets sick again. But you're also right that there may be some that have side effects. Another thing to consider is there may be some that work really great, but they're hard to manufacture.
Or
they're
super
hard
expensive.
To administer,
yeah.
or more expensive. So there's a lot of factors that go into deciding whether you have a success or not, which is kind of an interesting thing to contemplate.
All right, we have two questions about antibodies and a possible vaccine. I want to listen to them back to back. First, this is Dave in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Over a dozen sailors on the U.S. Theodore Roosevelt tested positive for coronavirus a second time. Does that mean a vaccine based on antibodies, such as the one being developed by Moderna, won't work?
And related question here from Megan in upstate New York.
I've heard that having antibodies does not necessarily protect against a second infection of COVID-19. What does that mean for vaccine development?
Joe, what is the connection between antibodies and a vaccine?
Well, the trouble is they're right that this is a problem. If you generate antibodies, which in theory should protect you, and you can generate them if you get actually exposed to the virus, or you could generate them if you get given a vaccine. But if you generate them and they stop protecting you, then you're not any better off than when you started. The issue is that it's not clear at this point. People don't understand exactly what's going on with these sailors on the U.S. Theodore Roosevelt. So it's not clear how long these antibodies are protective or if they're protective. Well, they are clearly protective for a while. That seems to be the case. How many people are protected, for how long, in what circumstances? One of the many questions that has to be answered.
All right. A lot of listeners are telling us they want to get involved, including Amanda in St. Louis. Here's her question.
I'm wondering if there is anything else we who aren't science or health professionals can do to help with the vaccine development.
What would you say, Joe? Is there anything that folks can do?
Well, exercise patience, I think, would be one of the things.
So sit still, quietly, stay
home.
It's
going to take a while. And yeah, and people are going to have to put up with restrictions on their behaviors that they're not going to be crazy about, and understandably so. Patience is important. The other thing is, you know, when they talk about testing this vaccine, they're testing it on somebody. You should watch people who are interested and willing and able should watch for advertisements for people who want to join the test program to see if the vaccine works.
Posted on like hospital websites? Where do you find out about those things?
I mean, yeah, it is posted on hospital websites, on company websites. There's actually a website that I found earlier that lists all the clinical trials. So if you search around, you can find places where they're looking for volunteers. It's not too hard.
Interesting. Okay, let's take this next question from Kay in Scottsdale, Arizona, who wants to know about how this vaccine might protect people taking it and those around them.
Wouldn't an infected person, vaccinated or not, still shed the virus, exposing others?
Joe, how does that work? What would you tell Kay?
Well, I think I asked a vaccinologist this question earlier today, and the answer seems to be basically no. If you had the vaccine and you're not becoming infected with the virus that's causing, in this case, COVID-19, you're not going to be shedding any because you don't have any. What you're getting from the virus is a activated immune system. You're not actually getting a live virus that you can shed and give to somebody else. So I don't think that's going to be one of the big problems.
All right. NPR's Joe Palca, thanks for answering all these questions for us tonight.
You bet.
And if you have questions, let us know. Go to npr.org/nationalconversation. On Twitter, use the hashtag NPRConversation or call and leave us a message. The number is 202-403-0386. Once again, that number is 202-403-0386. Up next, how the pandemic is affecting people with disabilities. Stay with us. This is The National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.